Hey everyone, it's Rich Conti here with another episode of the CDC Tech Live podcast. As always, we're coming to you from our studio inside Charleston Digital Corridor's flagship incubator on Morrison Drive in Charleston. Last episode, we caught up with Drew Wagner, founder and CEO of Launchbot, formerly SatQuote. Drew talked about their rebrand and a bit of a pivot. We also talked quite a bit about using AI tools for prototyping and developing. That topic is a passion of his, and he delivered a class at the CDC's Charleston Learning Center back in March to share what he's learned. Today, we're back with another former guest to talk about a topic that's been on everyone's mind the past few months: how changes in federal funding might impact our tech and business climate here in Charleston. This episode is brought to you by the Charleston County Economic Development Department. They're dedicated to recruiting new business, growing the existing industry, and improving Charleston's business climate. Visit them to learn more at charlestoncountydevelopment.org. Our guest on this episode of the Charleston Digital Corridor Tech Live podcast is Mark Murphy. Mark's a past guest and CEO and founder of Ignite Digital. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Yeah, three-time guest.
Yeah, three times. I was telling a previous interview that we have to start getting some of those like gold jackets like they give them out on Saturday Night Live for five-time attorneys. You'll be one of the first to get them. A little bit different tack on this episode, where we're actually going to focus on a specific topic that's definitely very timely and on the minds of folks in the tech and entrepreneur communities here in Charleston right now. Department of Government Efficiency. It's in the news. It's something that's on a lot of folks' mind right now. How would you describe the approach that government contractors in particular and other organizations that rely on government funding are taking right now to the efforts of the Department of Government Efficiency? Is there apprehension, cautious optimism, working, trying to get clarity? Like, what's the feeling out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all of the above. I mean, I think the apprehension, obviously, for people running businesses, and this is why I was excited about this topic. If you're running a business, you can't ignore it.
Yeah.
It's one of these things is regardless of how you feel about it,
it's happening.
It's happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, love or hate, never ignore. Mm. I think it's too early for optimism, but based on your individual business, you have to address it.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me right now, it's every day.
Yeah.
It's every day since this thing hit is trying to get facts, trying to get clarity, trying to make decisions about our business. Yeah. And I think we collectively all have to operate like that.
Yeah. It's kind of like you're bounded on both sides. It's too early to be optimistic about anything, but at the same time, denial or panic is really not an option as a business owner.
We lack details. We lack facts. And maybe that's by design, but our constant search for facts ends at the end of the day and it restarts the next day with a different set of facts. We are collectively going to be living in that environment for at least the near term.
Here in Charleston, we're used to shifting tides, right?
So, and that's what it is. Worse.
What types of impacts are we seeing here locally and across the state so far? Is there anything tangible that we're seeing?
So I think there's going to be winners and losers.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, as far as for us in the national security space, the impacts range from fairly dramatic, you know, as you heard on the news, just flat out taking funding, ending projects, ending work, to creating opportunities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as some of these things in chaos comes opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I think there's tremendous opportunity. If you look at this administration, again, you know, love or hate, if you look at what they're trying to accomplish, there's an awful lot of focus on tech modernization.
Mm-hmm.
There's an awful lot of focus on moving from legacy platforms into new platforms. That's really exciting for us. And we're trying to, you know, read the tea leaves there and be ready for that kind of transformation.
Yeah. As you put it earlier, love it or hate it, whatever side of the fence you're on from the standpoint politically, or even just is this a good thing as a business, you really have to think about how it applies to you. And if there's opportunities there, better to still be in the game, right? Even if there are elements that you disagree with, better to still be in the game and insert yourself in a way that's not only productive for you as a business, but gives you maybe more clarity and maybe even a measure of control going forward.
Right. We don't have, as business owners and business leaders, we don't have the luxury of too much looking at what might be.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm trying to operate in what's good for running our business. Yeah. I have shareholders and objectives to meet. And you know, is there opportunities here in modernization, in these new platforms, in gaining efficiencies through technology? And that's what we're focused on now, is looking at this idea of gaining efficiencies and presenting solutions through technology. And I think there's an awful lot of potential there and money to be made.
Yeah, you mentioned it's early, not a lot of clarity to be found, but what do you think the sort of life cycle of this looks like? Are we still sort of early? When do you think some of the impacts will really start to peak? And then do you think it'll just be a inexorable ongoing thing, or will it sort of, you know, be like a bell curve? We'll see a, you know, a fat part of the curve when it comes to the impacts, and then it'll wane.
I think the chaos is going to level out. I think it just has to.
Right.
I do think there is some good adult leadership still sprinkled through here. There's fundamental ideas that are solid. And I think we are going to see a leveling out. And then those ideas take hold. And, you know, we can run our businesses based on facts.
Right.
I think that's a 6 to 8 month before we see some leveling out, but we're going to get there. Now, in the tail end, we'll probably see some chaos again, but that's too far out in my world right now.
Are there impacts or potential impacts that you think aren't receiving enough attention? Obviously, there's been a lot of focus on this in the media and, as you said, among, you know, folks who own businesses. But are there pieces of it that you think maybe folks aren't as aware as they should be about it?
As I thought about this, let's talk about it as a community. I think there are pieces of it that create opportunity.
Yeah.
And again, if you look at the administration's priorities, we're front and center in some of these. And I know there are good groups here in the state that are already starting to think about this, but there's an emphasis on shipbuilding. We are a perfect place to take advantage of shipbuilding, manufacturing, steel. We have the former Pegasus Steel. So there are elements here that are resident in the plans that are coming out that we as a tech community and as a larger business community have all the assets in this region to be front and center. Let's start thinking about where are the upsides here and how can we as a community and a state take our resources, take the positioning we already have. Auto manufacturing, U.S.-based auto manufacturing. Look at what we're doing in South Carolina and the Charleston region that we can take advantage of. You know, we may find ourselves on the upside from a business perspective, maybe not a political perspective, but a business perspective. We have elements to find ourselves on the upside here.
Well, and a lot of that upside that you talked about there really is a function of where at least the stated priorities are in terms of, like you said, manufacturing, shipbuilding, et cetera. Are there any potential, I know it's sometimes a tough conversation to have, but are there any potential positives coming out of the actual cuts that are going on themselves that you can see?
I think, you know, there's redirection.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to track is, the peeling it back when you look at some of these cuts is, if you look at, you know, where we operate and if you look at the budget lines, the net is up. But at the program level and at the line item level, there are some cuts, but that money is being redirected. And in a lot of cases, it's being redirected on modernization and platform modernization. So there's painful cuts, and it's hard to see some of these personnel reductions. Yeah. But, you know, as you look at a net positive, again, from a business perspective, net positive spend at a top line, where is that going?
Yeah.
And a lot of it's going to technology modernization because there's a group of people that's their business.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think from software perspective, technology perspective, looking at new platforms, new ways of doing things to drive efficiencies. There's upside and the downside.
Yeah. You talked earlier about sort of the quest to get more clarity. What does that look like? Are there specific things that you are doing or you think businesses should be doing to try to drive to get some clarity? I mean, how do you personally sort of separate signal from noise? And there's a lot of both sort of going on here.
That's has quickly become part of my job that I didn't plan on coming into this year, but trying to find some facts.
Yeah.
You know, I spend a fair amount of my day trying to get some facts around this. It's, you know, what's going on in the news, talking to people in and around the region. I know there's groups here locally that have gotten lobbyists to try to, like, let's get some real pulse on what's going on so we can make decisions. Yeah. But it's a lot of, like, talking to people and figuring out where things are positioning on a daily basis, then trying to make decisions. You know, I caution our group a lot on pausing.
Right.
You know, because being reactive right now, I just don't think that's, you have enough clarity, as you use, to be reactive. We're trying to pace ourselves and work in fact. But, you know, looking also for opportunities where they come and being ready to move. The nice part of a business our size compared to some of the businesses I think that are really taking an impact is we can move quickly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've signaled to our customers that we're ready. We're ready to move quickly when some of these things hit. Whether, you know, you get a demand signal to do something different. And I think that's been really well received.
Yeah, I like the way you use the word reactive and the caution against it, because, you know, I think one of the things that really impedes clarity here is there's a lot of reactiveness going on both sides, right? On the side of the impacted, obviously, but also on the side of the folks doing impacts. You've seen some wild swings back and forth about what's even going on. And I got to imagine that makes it really extra difficult to get clarity.
Yeah, it panic from your customers, panic from your people.
Yeah.
Part of the role is to settle down the panic and, you know, wait for real facts, because even facts have been turned over in the past couple of weeks.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that a lot of the focus obviously has been on the administration and the things happening at the federal level. But we're starting to see in certain states, South Carolina among them, legislation being introduced at the state level that is at least nominally modeled after what's going on with DOGE and some of the other efforts to cut expenses at the federal level. How much of that is sort of political posturing versus how much of it is likely to introduce more change, more, you know, negative impacts, but also maybe more positive opportunities?
And I've looked at what our state is trying to do. And, you know, I hope it's more than positioning. I think the idea and the focus on efficiencies, we should all embrace. And if you look at, you know, the state has had some areas where we haven't been as efficient as needed. Yeah, you know, with education, with COVID money. So I think a focus, the concept of embracing efficiencies, I think is incredible. I hope it's more than political posturing. It looks like we have both sides of the aisle at least interested in this take and this approach from the state. Also encouraged that they're looking outside of government for this committee, 12-person committee, to drive some of the suggestions. And I think that's where these things are going to come from.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to come from the people down at our level saying, you know, what about this, and start looking at it. Really encouraged with that approach. The one piece of critique from the federal level that we should learn from is this is a scalpel, not a hammer.
Yeah.
If you can take it with that kind of approach, it's hard to deny that efficiency is good.
Yeah.
It's efficiency with some caution, with some respect and a real scalpel that will get the outcomes we want. I encourage the state to move forward collectively with that. I really like the idea of this outside committee and maybe you get technology representation, you get education represented, energy, auto, you know, all the areas that are driving this economy together at the table to find some ideas and then go forth.
Well, yeah, the topic of efficiency, right? You know, certainly in private business, it's always fundamentally considered a good thing, right? It's the way you create capital to do things that are going to add values, to remove some waste, and like you said earlier, redirect it or divert it, right, to more productive uses. What are your thoughts on some of the differences, though, between the role of the private sector and the role of the public sector, right? The one of the principles behind having a public sector is you're able to support needs that aren't steady state, right? That, you know, you never know if it, like, disasters, you know, you don't know if a disaster is ever going to hit, but having capacity to respond in the event that one does is one of the roles of the public sector. Is the line shifting here with some of that? Do you believe that everything should be, you know, privatized?
Well, there's a lot to unpack there, and it's great. The idea that government should run like a business, I think you have to pull up short of that kind of overlay of a bottom line for the government. Yeah. You know, I think there's some private sector concepts, private sector disciplines. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have to support our underserved. Mm-hmm. We have to be ready, as you said, for things that are unpredictable. Mm-hmm. To do that, it takes reserves. It takes, you know, planning capacity that as a business, you don't have that sitting around.
Right.
I think we need to stop saying government should be run like a business because it's not.
Yeah.
There's some disciplines. Absolutely. Governance. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Being absolute strict stewards of our tax dollars. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
But being a steward of our tax dollars, I believe, you know, should be focused on our underserved, should be focused on risk management.
Mm-hmm.
We have to find this balance here that we have to run a republic and support everyone in that while taking lessons from business. You strike a balance with public servants and business people, and we should try to find that right balance. Probably easier at the state level than the federal level, but I think we should all encourage to look at it with that lens.
Yeah. It's kind of the edge of the scalpel there. You know, it's hard, right? It's a fine point and it takes work. And, you know, I think the argument of it happening at the state level, you know, more effectively really goes to that, right? You're getting the folks that are closer to these needs, closer to other opportunities that are, you know, able to sort of walk that tightrope and find that balance.
And, you know, push that down. And education's a perfect example because I think state, local communities are really close to the problem and can be a tremendous asset to helping solve it. Let's resource at the right level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that running a business versus running a government really focus on putting these resources at the right level.
Well, what's the best way for listeners to stay informed, right? As some of this clarity starts to form, as more facts reveal themselves, as you put it, how do folks keep up with what the impacts actually are and what some of the things that may be going on at the state level?
There's a couple community groups that I know are really active in trying to, you know, represent our community where we live and serve in the tech community. And making sure that, you know, we're trying to get facts. What I try to do is get multiple sources, multiple news sources. Yeah. This is changing dramatically on a daily level. You know, I caution people just to have a little bit of patience with how they react to what they're hearing.
Yeah.
I hope that our delegation is representing the state well.
Yeah.
We have to put some trust in that. I think we're fortunate in the resources this state has to align to what might be next. Mm-hmm. That's really the important part of citizenship is to make sure we're contributing to, you know, what that might be next for the community.
Well, Mark Murphy, CEO and co-founder of Ignite Digital, thanks for joining us today to talk about DOGE.
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate it.
I'm glad that we were able to bring Mark back on the show to talk about the impact of DOGE. This episode was brought to you by the Charleston County Economic Development Department. They're dedicated to recruiting new business, growing existing industry, and improving Charleston's business climate. Visit them to learn more at charlestoncountydevelopment.org. Look for the CDC Tech Live podcast anywhere you find your favorite podcast, including directly on the CDC's website at charlestondigital.com. Subscribe so you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes, and leave us a rating and review to let us know how we're doing. Don't forget to follow the Charleston Digital Corridor on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram to stay up to date on all of the happenings here in Charleston. Thanks for listening. I'm Rich Conti, and this has been the CDC Tech Live Podcast.